Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington on this pre-recorded program. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Thursday, June 11, 2020. The European Union is adding its voice in the call for the formation of state governments.
Because there's these governance gaps with the stalling of the implementation of the agreement, that is also, hindering efforts to try to stop some of this violence.
And the United Nations is fighting COVID-19 myths in Sudan.
The big risk of the misinformation and the community action is for Corona is not you do protect yourself, but you also do risk a community member around you.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The European Union is calling on South Sudanese leaders to implement the revitalized peace agreement signed in September 2018. EU is also urging the transitional government of national unity to grant unhindered access to humanitarian organizations operating in South Sudan. For VOA News, Wake Simon would do reports from Juba.
In an exclusive interview with South Sudan in Focus, Sinet Wells, the EU ambassador to South Sudan, says the EU is very concerned about the latest stalled efforts on implementation of the peace agreement and intercommunal violence in the country and is calling on South Sudan's leaders to redouble their efforts in implementing the peace deal and to facilitate unfettered humanitarian access to aid groups.
Because there's these governance gaps with the stalling of the implementation of the agreement, that is also, hindering efforts to try to stop some of this violence. So the two issues are very interlinked as well. We also feel as though, the governance gaps, are very problematic in light of COVID-19 and the need for a sort of a united nationwide effort against COVID-19.
The EU says intercommunal conflicts are hampering the delivery of humanitarian aid in areas of the country affected by severe food insecurity and recurrent natural disasters. She adds the situation is worsened by the government's failure to fully implement the peace agreement and the proliferation of weapons in South Sudan. Wells says in order for the EU to step up its support to South Sudan, genuine progress in government reforms must happen first, including transparent public financial management.
We really stand ready as the European Union to provide more support to the government of South Sudan on these kinds of reforms, but we really need to see the political will, from the side of the new government, and obviously we need a fully constituted government for that to happen.
Wells says the transitional government has been tasked with many important responsibilities under the revitalized peace agreement, such as ending the violence and human rights abuses.
It is about, taking actions to stop the violence that's going on, because this is having a huge impact on the population of the country. And, I mean, really, there's no point in having a peace agreement and saying our war is over if people are still being impacted in their families with fatalities, with displacement, with sexual and gender-based violence. So, peace has to be peace at all levels.
South Sudan Information Minister and Government Spokesman Michael Makwe blames the COVID-19 pandemic for the government's stalled efforts toward implementing the peace deal.
This has not taken place up to now. Unfortunately, also before all that could be done, Dr. Rieg was also quarantined like us, and we were just discharged together on last Sunday. And so probably by this time, the parties will, the presidency may sit again, so that it can decide on the way forward.
Several ministers who served on the first COVID-19 South Sudan Task Force, including First Vice President Riek Machar and Makwe, tested positive. The EU welcomed the recent renewal of sanctions by the UN Security Council, including the arms embargo on South Sudan, saying it will help support an inclusive and sustainable peace in South Sudan. Wales is also urging the parties to fully implement the agreed to security arrangements in the peace deal. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
Local leaders and teachers in Western Equatoria State say the partial lockdown aimed at preventing the spread of the coronavirus has affected many schoolgirls. The South Sudan government closed schools and other institutions of higher learning in April to prevent the spread of the pandemic. The teachers and local leaders say some men impregnated many girls who were previously in boarding schools. For VOA News, Seba Martin Murangi reports from Juba.
The South Sudan government closed all schools and higher learning institutions in late March to help contain the spread of the pandemic. Leaders in Western Equatoria State say the COVID-19-related lockdown has affected many school girls in the state. 17-year-old Hipai Angelina is a senior four student in Abangite College in Western Equatoria State capital, Yambio. Speaking by phone from Yambio, Angelina says she lives with her mother who is single. She says life has not been easy for her after schools were closed in April.
Since I'm pregnant, of course, I had nothing that I was doing, and I'm only having my mother at home. We are living only with my mother, so I had no option. So it is really a challenge, and we have no hope even that maybe schools will open this year. I had nothing to be doing again.
Anthony Makana, a teacher in Green Valley Secondary School in Yambio, says he has learned from parents that several girls in his school have been impregnated during the partial lockdown. In phone interview from Yambio, Makana said it is sad that many teenage girls have become pregnant as a result of COVID-19.
To see that very many girls have got pregnant during this COVID-19 period. About 8 girls were pregnant. That is what I verified, and they are school girls. For example, during the giving out of cash transfer to girls, we have discovered that very many girls have got pregnant during this period. The reason being, they don't have that time to stay at the school. They had been released to stay at home, and they have free time to move, though the parents cannot control at all. That is what I understand. When they were at the school, it was fair because they had enough time to stay at school and had a few time for leisure.
Lomo Alex Rumlak, the head teacher of Maridi Girls High School in Maridi County, says several girls in his school were also impregnated during the past 2.5 months of the lockdown. Speaking by phone from Maridi, Rumlak urged parents to play a great role in guiding and monitoring their daughters' behavior during the COVID-19-related lockdowns.
The parents will take the chance now to actually advise their girls at home, especially those who are not pregnant, and even those who are pregnant will be advised. One, those who are pregnant will be advised not to cause cases of abortion, because one is the daughter taking a hard situation, these girls may cause abortion. They should be advised not to abort these pregnancies until they deliver peacefully. Then those who are not pregnant should also be advised, especially mothers, because there are some situations where indeed a girl cannot talk to the father, but most likely to the mother.
Speaking from Yambio by phone, Yambio traditional chief Cirilo Franco Pozo is appealing to South Sudanese communities to educate girls about the dangers of unprotected sex and teenage pregnancies.
We have seen that most girls are pregnant because it is difficult now for parents to control them. In school, it was good because schools kept them the whole day and the parents cool. Control them at night hours, but this is now difficult. What I am seeing is that girls should be educated so they can understand that despite the pandemic, their schools will still be opened and they will continue with their education, and they should not lose hope.
The officials at the National Ministry of Gender and Social Welfare say poverty and ignorance are some of the drivers of teenage pregnancies in South Sudan. For VOA News, I'm Seba Martin Mrangi in Juba.
Three UN agencies are working to dispel COVID-19-related myths in Sudan. The UNDP, UNICEF, and WHO launched a WhatsApp messaging campaign to combat misinformation on COVID-19 amongst Sudanese communities. UNICEF officials say many myths about the coronavirus in Sudanese communities are contributing to the spread of the virus across the country. For VOA News, Michael Atit reports from Khartoum.
The new WhatsApp platform will provide advice on staying safe, answers to frequently asked questions, tips for protecting oneself and others, and case numbers, according to the three UN agencies. The alerts are intended to supplement the advice and preventive guidelines provided by the Federal Health Ministry. One is required simply to send the word HI to +41 22 501 7023 on WhatsApp to get the latest facts on COVID-19 as well as the advice on protective measures. Iman Atijani, a development communication officer at UNICEF, says the campaign is aimed at helping the health ministry provide communities with accurate information about how to fight the COVID-19 pandemic. Atijani says there are a lot of rumors floating around about protective measures, symptoms, and treatment of the virus.
The big risk of the misinformation and the community action is for corona is not you do protect yourself, but you also do risk a community member around you. And we really care and we want all the community to be around and shield the risk group, the elders, the people with chronic disease. They need to get the right information.
Sudan has recorded well over 6,000 confirmed cases of the COVID-19 pandemic, 389 deaths, and 2,127 recoveries. Authorities in Khartoum have extended the lockdown period until June 18th. Atijani says the new WhatsApp platform will help correct some of the myths about COVID-19.
Some of the rumors recently that we had to tackle by messages and also by discussion around community members, by drama show, it's a message around that if we drink tea, we most likely don't get COVID. And for us, this is a denial of the existing of the disease, but also an information around how to prevent.
Sudanese should first look at the Federal Health Ministry for the latest information on COVID-19, says Atijani. She says the WhatsApp alerts will provide fast, easy access to the latest global COVID-19 information from the WHO. Despite the lockdown, which Sudanese authorities have extended several times, Atijani says many Sudanese, including community leaders, continue to ignore preventive measures like social distancing.
We have seen that there are some community figures who passed away because of corona, but still there was a big number of people attending the funerals, denying that this community figure have died because of corona. That, for us, it's a very risky practice coming from the misinformation.
Atijani says some Sudanese are in denial because of the stigma attached to the coronavirus. Health experts say knowing the facts about COVID-19 and sharing them with friends and family can be a vital tool in keeping yourself and your community safe. The COVID-19 WhatsApp alert system was developed globally by WHO, UNICEF, and UNDP in partnership with WhatsApp. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, many residents of Juba Town are struggling to stay fit. Find out why after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today,
why do you think more young people are turning away from farming?
You know, for you to farm, to be a farmer, you have to wait. I'm waiting until, you know, these guys, they don't want to wait. They want the money now. They don't want you to maybe you plant your corn or maize or yam and you have to wait till probably like how many months before it germinates and before you can even harvest.
Maybe because they feel or they view farming to be an old occupation or vocation that are mostly for the villagers. But then I feel farming is one that I know you can generate money from.
In most cases, young people in Africa think white collar jobs are the most earning, but in the real sense, it's the reverse.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linar Mudu. The World Health Organization and the Africa Centers for Disease Control say there are no drugs approved to fight COVID-19. If you have tested positive, talk to a doctor before taking any medicines. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Many South Sudanese in the capital, Juba, are jogging to stay fit during the outbreak of the COVID-19 pandemic. Dr. Angok Gordon Kwol, former incident manager for COVID-19 at the Ministry of Health, says constant exercise is important for the body. For VOA News, Manyang David Mayer reports from Juba.
With sweat pouring down his face, jogger Sweet Peter says he started exercising right after the first outbreak of the coronavirus in Juba.
Here, making exercises to make my body stronger and strengthen. I'm just one and a half month. Other than to make my body stronger, then I avoid the disease of that corona.
Peter says he runs for an hour and a half every evening. Angok Antarakwen, a member of parliament representing Awil North County in the National Legislative Assembly, says he too likes to jog because it helps him stay fit and healthy.
We know that we have a deadly disease, the coronavirus, which is a pandemic that is affecting the entire world. And with it not having any treatment and no other measures that can eradicate the disease, it's best that we resort into physical fitness through exercise and also eating and staying healthy.
Akwen says he runs 10 kilometers 4 times a week. He says exercise has always been a part of his lifestyle, but with the coronavirus, he takes it even more seriously than before.
To me, it's a habit, it's a routine, something that I've grown up doing. I used to be an athlete myself. I was a boxer during my younger years, and I've never stopped exercising. It's been part of my life, and it's something that I always advocate and try to encourage other people into getting to. It's a good habit. And with the current corona situation, I'm sure through sports and exercise, one can also be boosting their immune system.
While government officials like Akwen and others take to the street for exercise, some prefer hiking on the mountains near Juba. Philip Anyangong is a member of the Juba Hiking and Biking Club. He says over the past few months, the club registered more members than ever before.
Recently, there were associated claims that keeping yourself, doing exercise, eating honey, eating lemon, taking lemon, and things like that can help you with reducing risk of being affected with COVID-19. Maybe we haven't had proven records for that, but one thing that hiking does or exercise does is that it keeps your body healthy, it keeps your body fit.
The first South Sudan High-Level Task Force on COVID-19 in May banned hiking, alleging that hikers were not adhering to World Health Organization social distancing guidelines. The task force advised people to hike on their own and avoid overcrowding. Dr. Ngugodonkwal, former incident manager for COVID-19 at the health ministry, says physical exercise helps the body to combat diseases, including COVID-19.
COVID always take advantage of underlying conditions. For instance, if you have, say, blood pressure, say, diabetes, say, heart problem, all the other diseases, when you practice, this means that your body now is responding well and your body is healthy, plus, of course, the treatment you are taking. So if you fight off those diseases through exercise, then the chances of you putting off corona, if at all, are higher.
South Sudanese authorities eased lockdown restrictions in May, allowing public transport, bars, shops and markets to reopen. However, sporting activities like football remain closed. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayar in Juba.
Still on COVID, tens of thousands of refugees from Eritrea are at risk of contracting the coronavirus after the first case were found inside one of Ethiopia's largest refugee camps. Experts and humanitarian workers say conditions in four camps holding approximately 100,000 Eritrean refugees are ideal for the virus to spread, with people living close to each other in confined spaces. For VOA News, Simon Max reports from Addis Ababa.
Authorities in Ethiopia are racing to improve health facilities and water levels at the country's 26 refugee camps after the government confirmed that a 16-year-old girl from Eritrea had tested positive for the coronavirus last week. The patient has since been transferred to a government hospital where she is in a stable condition, said Anne Encontre, country representative for the UN Refugee Agency in Ethiopia. The girl lives in the Adi Harush camp, which houses around 33,000 people. Samples from two more suspected cases from the camp, located in the Tigray region, are currently under examination at a government laboratory. Ethiopia's Administration for Refugee and Returnee Affairs has worked with the UN to increase the amount of water at campsites in the Tigray region to an average of 15 litres per person per day, closer to the necessary 21 litres the UN recommends. Encontre told VOA via a messaging app that containing the spread of the virus will be challenging considering the living conditions at refugee camps.
It's really a tight accommodation, tight normal social and cultural practices. So in all honesty, we are fairly confident that we've done our best, but we have to continue our efforts. We cannot let our hands down now. We really have to keep the standards and brainwash, basically, that this has to be more than ever important to daily living. But the sheer numbers will be a challenge. I mean, some of our camps are 80,000 and above.
Encontre also said there was a big risk of new cases from Eritrea.
Ethiopia continues to be a welcoming country to asylum seekers and people running to save their lives and for safety and security. And we do have persons who are coming across the borders there. The borders are porous.
Ethiopia has recorded more than 2,500 COVID-19 cases and 35 deaths since the first case was confirmed on March 13, although most of those have emerged in the last 2 weeks. COVID-19 is the disease caused by the coronavirus. In January, the government stopped granting automatic asylum to Eritreans in an effort to reduce what it deemed to be the high influx of unaccompanied minors, illegal migrants, and others who do not fulfill the criteria laid out for refugee status. Aid groups have said the policy will force Eritreans wishing to flee their homeland to take the dangerous northern route towards Libya and Europe. Dan Connell, a visiting researcher at Boston University, and an expert on Eritrean refugees, says Ethiopia also changed its policy towards Eritrean refugees in January by issuing more residency permits for refugees to leave the camps.
They went into the camps and they offered out-of-camps permits to anyone who wanted it. I was told when I was there in February by ARA that some 5,000 people had accepted it within the first 3 weeks that it was offered.
The policy is designed to reduce the size of the camp so authorities can eventually close a camp known as Hitzats, which holds around 13,000 people, has less amenities than the other three camps in Tigray, and is located in an area with high levels of malaria.
Once you get the virus moving within those camps, the problem gets compounded by the fact that there are many people in the camps distrusting the authorities and not checking in when they do get sick.
Connell also said there was no way to social distance inside many camps, and that there are still significant numbers of people coming from Eritrea who are not being counted by the government or UN. Simon Marks for VOA News, Addis Ababa.
Sudan's transitional government has launched a program for transfer of the country's current cash-based payment to a digital system. Majdi Amin, a senior advisor at Sudan's Finance and Economic Planning Ministry, says the new digital system will help the government make direct cash transfers to citizens. He says the program will also allow ordinary Sudanese to pay for services and receive money on their phones. For VOA News, Nabil Biagio reports from Washington.
Sudan Finance Minister Advisor Majdi Amin says Sudan has a small banking sector. Less than 15% of its 42 million people have a bank account. But he says more than 75% of Sudan's population has access to a phone in mobile services. He says Sudan's central bank is working with phone companies to give people access to digital or mobile money.
Customers would get a digital wallet, which then they can use for digital payments. So we can now use the massive reach of the phone companies, the population that's covered by mobile or has mobile phone access, to then extend banking services far greater than those who just have a bank account.
Sudan's government says its family support program will soon start making direct monthly cash transfers to 80% of the population in order to lessen the economic hardship in the country made worse by the COVID-19 pandemic.
To reach 80% of the population, we need to get to 6.7 million Sudanese families, and without duplication, without fraud. There's no way to do this through traditional means. We can only do this if we have a digital delivery ecosystem. And it means we need to work across the government, multiple ministries, the central bank, the banking system, telecommunication providers, and the banks.
With the new system, Amin says, Sudanese citizens will only need a digital ID in a mobile phone to make financial transactions on their phone or at stores across the country.
Another key benefit of going digital with the payments is that, you know, during COVID-19, we know that we really want to minimize how much interaction people have directly at stores or at other places where people might be aggregating or congregating. But also we don't want to, you know, we want to minimize, if possible, actually handling of cash, because cash itself can be a means of spreading the virus.
Amin says to help sustain the program, Sudan has joined the United Nations-based program called Better Than Cash Alliance, moving from cash to digital payments to improve people's lives, which he says helps Sudan learn from other countries with the same system.
There are also other things that maybe government to citizen services, like, for example, payments to students or social benefits, pension or other, you know, forms of insurance. In the health field, there's a wide range of instances where the government has to pay or transact with citizens. And this starts to create a much broader ecosystem where more people have the incentive to go digital.
Amin says citizens will no longer have to physically enter government offices to get things done, like buying stamps or getting approval before receiving services. He says it will also help vulnerable and poor populations, such as refugees and internally displaced persons, receive financial aid quickly and efficiently. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Washington.
That's our show for this Thursday. We now leave you with the song Aisha by Khalid. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for making us part of your evening. Remember to wash your hands with soap. Practice social distancing and do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers, because there's no cure for the coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Voici les belles, les
issues. Oh, see, oh, oh, oh.